In each of our lives, there are bumps along the way, experiences that jolt us to our core, crises, times of trial, whatever you want to call events that shake us to our foundations and make us question our ability to go on. If you live any length of time at all, you will experience events that will make you feel like everything you thought was good and true is anything but good and true. Your health may fail. Your marriage may fail. Your job may fail. You may lose the person whom you thought you could not live without. You may lose the security that you thought you could not live without. The one thing that is certain is that each of us encounters hardships. No one is immune from that. So look around and know that each and every one of us here has had to deal with something that we never imagined we'd have to deal with. And if we haven't yet, we will at some time in our lives. We'll find ourselves searching and seeking for anything that will make our lives in that moment make sense. That's where Jesus' followers are in our reading from the last chapter of Luke's Gospel today. They are in that weird place of the unknown. Everything they thought they knew no longer adds up in any logical way. They're going through the emotions associated with grief, anger, despair, doubt, guilt, fear, restlessness, and despondency. They haven't slept much. They can't really eat because their appetite is gone. Everything feels hollow and surreal. They have no idea what to do with their time. Reading is a waste of time. Scriptures no longer make any sense. Praying seems void of any real effect. Lack of sleep and lack of food, combined with the fear of what will happen next, makes them jittery and jumpy, as though they'd have a couple of Starbucks Grande Espressos chased with a Red Bull energy drink. And it's in this setting that Jesus comes to them. And in the NRSV translation, it describes the reaction of the disciples as startled and terrified. Feel free to translate that into your own vernacular so that you have a better picture of what actually transpired here. They were shocked beyond belief, and not in a good way, like they had won the publisher's clearinghouse million-dollar giveaway, but in a way that induced fear and terror. Something was going on that was outside their realm of imagination. Jesus stood among them just like that and said, "Peace be with you." As they quaked and quivered and wondered what sort of greeting this might be, Jesus, taking advantage of the stunned silence of the disciples, continues by chiding them. "Why are you frightened?" he asks. "Why do doubts arise in your minds?" He goes on to show them that what they saw on Friday was real. This was no smoke and mirrors. He was not spared the horror and agony of the crucifixion. And he also shows them that what they are witnessing in this moment is real as well. He is resurrected, not a ghost, not an apparition, not a hologram. He says to them, "Have you anything to eat?" So the fishermen give him some fish, and he eats it. And we might wonder if they aren't all the more startled and terrified at this point, but we're not privy to that information. For thinking people, this is a tough story. It's perhaps one that is easily ignored as irrelevant to our lives today. Who in their right mind would imagine seeing a ghost? How did Jesus mysteriously appear in this particular room? And then what is this business of him eating fish? There was no science at the time. The people of antiquity were much more gullible and ignorant in the literal and kindest sense of the word. They just didn't know better. After all, they thought that epilepsy and schizophrenia and any other number of diagnosable illnesses were demonic possessions, and we better know better now. We are so much wiser and more learned. This story has no relation to the world these days, except maybe to those literalists who refuse to engage their brains. One year, many years ago, while living in Valdosta, Georgia, I decided to take the kids to Orlando, to Disney World, for a couple of days vacation. It was only a 3-hour drive, and they had missed spring break that year because it fell on Holy Week. We would stay off-site and have a great time for a fraction of the cost of the full Disney ride, so off we went. I have no memory of the name of the hotel where we stayed, but I have a vivid memory of the view across the street from the balcony. It was a most unusual and unexpected sight. A building was totally upside down. The top was asphalt reaching around the building as if it had been pulled out of the ground and flipped on its head. Palm trees grew upside down. Lanterns hung wrong side up. Floors were up, ceilings were down. I was enthralled by this sight, and I'm embarrassed to admit that it took me a minute or two to remember where I was and realize that the building was designed this way. For a moment, I was awed and amazed, not startled or terrified, but awed and amazed that something had been somehow turned upside down, that what I thought was predictable and proven was no longer that. This upside-down building was totally against all expectation, not unlike a funhouse where water runs uphill and floors move in unpredictable ways. The question we need to struggle with for ourselves is, how do we encounter the risen Lord? Are we afraid, startled, and terrified by Jesus? Are we quick to move Jesus to the realm of smoke and mirrors of the funhouse, something that is not real and does not matter? Are we amazed and enthralled with the reality of the risen Lord that challenges us to acknowledge his presence in our lives? After Jesus settled the nerves of the cranked up disciples and then reminded and enlightened them of the unfolding plan of God, he sent them out to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations. He sent them out. He moved them away from stagnancy and fearfulness of their human experience and told them to go to all nations, proclaiming repentance and forgiveness. Not condemnation and sinfulness, not shortcomings, but repentance and forgiveness. Jesus' resurrected life should be visible in us. We should be affected by this story, the whole story. The story that has been known to us in the breaking of the bread. We should be so affected by this that we affect the world, not with judgment, but with love. Amen.